Grab it. Don't write on it. Just hang on to it. I want to dismiss the kids to Children's Church. As they are going, Tessa is going to be walking around with the Peterson and Daphne jar. We highlighted this jar a couple of weeks ago. It's some kids that we sponsor in Haiti. So as she walks around, if you've got something to give to that, feel free to do that. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you like hard conversations? And for the ones who raise their hands, we'd like to pray for you. Had to have a few hard conversations in my world this last week, and I found myself in one of those conversations saying this phrase, words matter, period. Words matter. How you say them, to whom you say them, why you say them, when you say them. Words matter. I read a story this past week about a music teacher at a small community college in California back in the 1970s. She recounted a time, one fall, when she had a six-foot boy, 6 foot tall isn't all that tall these days, right? It's not. Plenty. 6 foot tall, kind of awkward, kind of uncomfortable, kind of shy. I mean, that's to put it nicely. This music teacher recounted, spent most of the time when he was in class just to himself. Didn't say much, didn't participate, didn't engage. The teacher tried to engage him even in times outside of class, maybe during lunch times, when she would find this kid outside sitting under a tree, kind of gazing up into nothingness. And even when she engaged this young man then, all she really ever got out of him was, nods and grunts. Okay, well, this teacher was known as a strict grader. And it came time for the final. And she knew going in that, so much of her class was graded on participation, engagement, being there. And she knew that this kid didn't deserve a good grade. So the final came, they had the written final, and then after the kids finished the written final, they would take the final to the teacher, and the teacher would talk to them about what they were going to get, what grade they were going to get. So this young man came to the teacher and handed in his test and said more in the next 30 seconds than he had said the entire semester. He talked about he realized that he hadn't come to class all that much. He realized that he wasn't engaged, hadn't participated, realized that he deserved a low grade, and then went on to kind of berate himself, saying he's worthless, nobody likes him, really he's not going to amount to much. Well, at this point, the teacher, again, who had never done something like this before, looked at him and said, "You know what? You are a D student, but you're an A person, and I'm going to give you an A for the class." She said, "I believe in you. I think you've got something more to offer." As he was leaving, she let him know, "Look, you're loved." And the rest of that day, the teacher didn't know if she had done the right thing. Again, had never been easy on somebody like that. Well, she got woken up 3 o'clock the next morning. This is a true story. Got woken up at 3 o'clock the next morning, shook herself out of this fog, and it was the priest of the church that the boy went to. And the priest said, "I don't know what you said to him, but something stuck." See, before he came to class the next day, he had left a suicide note on the pillow in his bedroom. He had talked about in that note how worthless he felt, how much his family didn't really value him, and how he really didn't have a place. And the priest went on to tell the teacher, "Whatever you said hit home." Now, this young man grew up to be a dentist, to have a wife and kids, and who knows what would have happened had that teacher not listened to her gut and spoke words of life into this kid. See, words matter. Too many of us know and have heard of the opposite taking place. Bullies using words to demean, to beat down, to abuse, and way too often the bullied kids do end up taking their lives. Perhaps go a different direction, showing that words matter. I don't care where you stand politically, on what side of the spectrum, I think we'd all agree that over the last several administrations, words have been used harshly. Words are said, printed, reported, tweeted, things that damage people's careers, their credibility, their integrity. Words matter. I mean, in my own home, I can remember times when I have said things without thinking that have hurt my sons or my wife, and I can still see their faces fall. That's etched into my heart. We've all seen it. We've all done it. My guess is we've all used words poorly. Words matter, period. Who you say them to, how you say them, why you say them, when you say them, what you say. So how are your words? Looking back over this last week, this last month, this last year, what effects have your words had? James, the brother of Jesus, spoke about words in his letter. Before we dive into them, let's pause for a moment of prayer. God, it's no coincidence that we're speaking on words this morning, as you want to give us a word, not just a written word, but Lord, I believe that you want to speak directly to at least one person's heart this morning. If there's more, I ask that you would open our ears to hear. God, we want to listen to what you have to say, and we want it to impact us in a real and genuine way. So bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3. This morning we continue our sermon series based out of the letter, the book of James. It's a series that we've titled Between Sundays, Following Jesus the Other 6.5 Days a Week. Now James, the author, has been hitting us hard with practical things, practical ways to make sure our life is being lived as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus. Now James starts this next section, we see a little chapter 3 by it, but he continues a theme that he has already hit on a few times earlier in the letter. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Verse 26, just a few verses later, same chapter, "If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless." James chapter 2, verse 12, we hit on this a few weeks ago, says, "Whatever you say and whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free." Words matter. And here we go with the next section, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. You can follow along in your Bibles, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. James writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." Verse 6, "And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 9, "Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so, blessings and curses come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." Words matter, period. Now, in the first verse of this section, James starts off by cautioning people who are considering being teachers in the church. He says this in verse 1. He says, "Not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we will be judged more strictly." Those who teach will be judged more strictly. Listen, I don't want us to get hung up on this, nor do I want us to lose any potential listeners. Because there's the potential of someone saying, I'm never going to be a teacher in a church. I won't help with Sunday school. I'm not going to volunteer at Awana. No chance I'll stand in the front with a mic and actually give a sermon, so I don't need to listen the rest of the day. Right? Don't check out. Because James is really quick to pull us all back together. And frankly, whether we're a teacher in a classroom, whether we're a teacher in our businesses, whether we're a teacher in a church, our words have the possibility to impact people greatly. So our words matter. And that's why James, very quickly in the next sentence, draws people back in. Verse 2, he says this, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way." Now, from this point on, James just drives home over the next couple of paragraphs this idea that words matter, that every single one of us uses words, and every single one of us has messed up using our words, not just teachers. So the tongue, he says, is this wild and crazy thing. It's like a catch-22. It's a constant contradiction. There's this terrible tension in the tongue. A good word picture might be it's like a firework. Or a firecracker, right? It's got the opportunity to be beautiful and wow the crowds, but in the same breath, it's got the potential to be terribly dangerous. That's what James is kind of getting at in verse 9 and 10. James says, sometimes it, our tongue, praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in God's image. And so blessings and curses come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Potential for beauty, James says, praising God, and yet the real potential for damage, cursing, pouring out of the same mouth. I may have told you guys this story before, but we've got enough new people that I'll tell it again. I played football at Carroll College in Montana, a small private Catholic school. On Fridays, we would go to Mass as a team. And looking back, it was actually beautiful. The whole team would be there. You know, the priest would speak, those that were allowed to would take communion, prayers would be said, and you know, I can look back and see everybody in there, including the coaches, participating in this. Now, then there was game day on Saturdays, and minutes before we would go out and take the field, the coach, short little gruff guy, would gather the team together. Come on, man, gather, take a knee, grab a hand, let's pray. He'd say, and he'd lead us in the Hail Mary, right? Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. I didn't know that prayer growing up non-Catholic, so I remember the first few times just listening to it. But what I remember more vividly than the prayer was what came out of the coach's mouth immediately after amen. Immediately. A string of profanity that would have made a sailor jealous. I mean, I kid you not, it was something else. Blessings and curses pouring out of the same mouth, James says. Catch 22, the contradictions of the tongue, the firecracker-like tendency of the tongue. Words matter. That's probably why the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 141, verse 3. Take control of what I say, O Lord. Guard my lips. Now, in the English Standard Version, it reads like this. Set a guard or a sentry, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Put somebody there who can watch what's going in and what's going out, the good and the bad. We all have the ability for both to come out of here. Now, most of this last week, as I was studying this passage, I kept thinking, wow, this entire section is about the negative things that the tongue could do, that the negative effects the tongue could have. And yet, the more I dug in, especially in some of the earlier verses, the more I realized, wait, James could be saying something positive here also. So starting in verse 3 and reading through the first half of 5, James says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes great speeches. Now, yes, in the context of this, we could look at that and say, wow, the tongue has the potential to do really a lot of damage. And this is true, but when you think of it, James could also be saying, wait, the tongue, as small as it is, has the potential to make great impact. It has the potential to do big things, things that could be awesome. I mean, think back to the story of the teacher and the student. Had that teacher not spoken words of affirmation, words of love, who knows what would have happened to that young man, and yet that young man grew up to help how many thousands of people in his dentist office? Small words, big outcomes, positive outcomes. I think also of Susanna Wesley. Some of you may have heard her story. She was a mother of 19 kids. Okay, 9 of them died, so she ended up with 10. And the true story is told, that each week she would spend individual time with each of her 10 kids. One-on-one time, and in that time, she would teach them God's ways, she would speak truth, she would speak life into them. Two of those kids, John and Charles Wesley, we may know their names. One of them wrote over 6,000 hymns that a lot of them are sung in churches still today, and the other kind of developed this methodical practice of faith, Methodism, that's still active today. Small tongue in the mom's mouth, yet big impact. I think James, in this part of his letter, is saying that words have the tremendous opportunity to do good. The Apostle Paul thought so too. When he wrote the church in Ephesus, one small line in that letter says this. It starts off Ephesians 4:29. He says, "Don't use foul or abusive language." Okay, and most parents and most pastors stop there. Okay, they're like, "Ah, you can't say that word." But if you continue, listen to what Paul says. "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." An encouragement. Potential to move mountains. There's a Christian recording artist named Toby Mack. A lot of you have probably heard some of his songs on the radio. And he sings a song called "Speak Life." Now just listen to some of the lyrics early on in the song. He said, "It's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life," he sings. "Speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope." You speak life. Small words have a tremendous impact. Much like a small bit in a horse's mouth or a small rudder on a large ship. Small words can change the course of people's lives. Now, James also addresses the other side. Starting in the second half of verse 5, James says, "But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." Verse 7, "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison." Not a very pretty picture being painted of the tongue, is it? I mean, great fire, wickedness, corrupting, restless, full of deadly poison. The Jews in Palestine, they would have understood this idea of a spark causing a fire. Because on the hills, especially in the dry season, with nothing but you know, shrubs and low-growing thorn bushes, if a spark caught one of those, it would quickly turn into a flame that could not be stopped. I mean, we're familiar with that. August in Spokane, the skies are normally a hazy orange, right, from the fires. You look back to last year, California, the worst fire season in history. 8,527 fires in that state alone last year. Just under 1.9 million acres burned, $3.5 billion worth of damage. Why? Because a small spark or two or three set great blazes. James says this is like our tongue. It has the potential to do that. And the wise King Solomon in Proverbs 16 said, "Scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive fire." Remember the old campfire song? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Yeah, if you remember the rest of it, that's a very positive song. That's how it is with God's love, right? But there's truth in that. It only takes a spark. One word can create this hugely damaging fire. That's why James said in verse 6, your tongue can set a whole life on fire, for it's set on fire by hell itself. I think we realize this, but once we speak, the words that we speak cannot be taken back, no matter how many times we apologize for them. In the book Caravan of Dreams, published in 1968, the character Ali said, three things cannot be retrieved: an arrow that has been shot, a word spoken in haste, and an opportunity that has been missed. You can't retrieve a word that has been spoken in haste. This is so true. I know personally I've spoken way too many words that I wish I could get back. Again, King Solomon, in all his wisdom in Proverbs 21, said, watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. It's a great proverb. Words spoken, no matter how many times you apologize for them, once they're spoken, they can't be taken back. They can't be undone. One commentator said it well. He said, let a man or a woman, before they speak, remember that once a word is spoken, it's gone from his control. Let him or her think before they speak, because although they cannot get it back, they will most certainly answer for it. Most certainly answer for it. This is actually something very similar to what Jesus said, right? Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. I tell you this, Jesus said, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Jesus speaking on the power of words, which of course shouldn't surprise us, right? Because all along in this series, I've said that James gets his material from his brother Jesus. That's why when James wraps up this session, not this session, this section in verse 11, he says, does a spring of water bubble out both fresh and bitter water? Or does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Now, if you know the words of Jesus, you know he too said something very similar to that. In Luke's gospel, he said, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. James, or Jesus said something similar in Matthew chapter 12. Again, a tree is identified by its fruit. He says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Just hearing Jesus' words is sobering to me. You know, if James's allusion to figs from grapevines echoes back to Jesus' words, then what James is saying is, you got to understand there's more than just good and bad that can come from words. There's something deeper going on that you've got to look at. Our words are a reflection of what's going on in here, what's going on at the core of who we are. And if that's truly the case, in some sense, our words can tell us how firm a grasp Jesus has on our heart. Maybe that's just for a day, maybe that's for months. But our words, if there's nothing but poison and venom and vitriol and spark-starting fires coming out of our mouths, then to me that says Jesus may need to do some cleanup on our heart aisle. And that's sobering. That's why so often my prayer is based out of Psalm 19:14. God, may the words of my heart and the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do the work, Lord, in my heart that will be reflected in the words coming out of my mouth. James says that we all make mistakes, but if we can control our tongues, we'll be perfect and can control ourselves in every other way. It's another pointed message by James, the brother of Jesus. A message that I think hits way too close to home, at least for you, or for me, maybe for you guys as well. So what do we do with this? What do we do with a message like this? Do I just say, hey, as you go this week, watch your tongue? I could. And maybe that would affect some people. Maybe it wouldn't. Instead of saying that, I want to put some words in your mouth. Or I want to allow you to put some words in your mouth. Or if nothing else, some words in the lineup that you can use. Okay, so this is where we get to this little insert that I've mentioned a couple of times. Words matter. Now you can pull it out. Okay, pull it out. Grab a pen, a pencil. If you don't have one of these, just grab the little thing that says scribble notes in the seat pocket in front of you. This is how we're going to finish our time this morning. I want to give us an opportunity to write down words or phrases that could be either life-giving or life-zapping, that could be hurtful. And we're going to start with words that could tear down. So go ahead, turn over on the back where there's a sad face. And you notice there's only like five or six lines there. We're going to give you just a couple of minutes to think through some words that maybe are words that you use, or maybe words that have been used towards you that cause pain, that do damage. I mean, maybe words like worthless or stupid or why can't you? Words that you know, having listened to this morning and having lived through them being said or to you or saying them, words that hurt. So we're going to give you just a little bit of time to write those words down. And in the background, we're going to have Toby Mac's song playing just so that it's not this awkward, uncomfortable silence. Okay? So grab a pen, a paper, and we're starting here. Just words or phrases that you know are harmful. Go ahead and write. All right, we'll have Nathan kind of fade that out for a second. I don't want to just leave this as we've written some words down. I actually want to give us some time to give these words over to the Lord. You know, whether they're words that we normally say or whether they're words that have been said to us, this might be a good time for us to, I mean, literally put our hands open and say, Lord, we are open-handed right now. These words are words we say that we need you to take from our vocabulary. Or maybe they're words that have been spoken to us that we need to recognize have caused deep hurt, and we need to give that hurt over to God and let him heal us. So for just about 30 seconds to a minute, and we're going to keep the sound down on the song, I want you guys to do that. Just look over these words that you have written down, and if you want to, you hold those hands out and let God know what you want done with these words. So again, just a few minutes or a moment or two of prayer. Father, it could be that this morning there have been words that have been spoken to people in here that have caused years of harm, that have caused years of heartbreak and damage, and maybe this morning they're recognizing that one or two small words really did light this fire within them, a fire that has burned for a long time. I ask, Lord, that you would be the one that heals the wounds that have been caused from those words that have been spoken to these people this morning. And Lord, if there is words that we've written down that that cause harm, that are deliberately said to belittle somebody, I pray that you would remind us over and over the harm that these words can do, and I pray that you would take them from our vocabulary. Even this week, as we think about saying them, would you just poke us hard enough to remind us of the damage these words can do? I ask this in Jesus' name. Now we continue. On the front, there's a smiley face with a smile on it. That's smiley face, pretty creative, right? With a lot more lines. So again, I'm going to give you some time to think through some words that might be life-giving, that might encourage, that might build up. Whether you can picture somebody you need to say them to, or whether these are words you'd like to hear, go ahead and spend some time writing those words down. You know, you can bleed over onto the back as well. Plenty of space, and again, we'll turn the Toby Mac song on. So prayerfully, think through some words that can build up, maybe words like loved, strength, resilience, awesome sauce. Words maybe like that, that you think others would need to hear. Let's take a moment or two and write some of these words down.
Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life. It's twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire, trouble fall like rain.
I want you to take a moment and look at that list. You know, maybe you've written down words that you want to hear God say to you. Maybe you've written down words that you want to say to somebody else, or maybe words that have been said to you. What I want us to do now is just spend a moment or two asking God for the right opportunity to share these words with somebody. Okay? We've got a list. And it may be that somebody needs to hear a word or a phrase that we've written down. But it's got to be God's timing. And it's got to be His way. I mean, you don't want to just run up to somebody and say, powerful, passionate. Whew, pastor told me to use good words. So, you know, because they're going to lean back just like Alex just did. So take a moment or two and ask God for opportunities this week to use these words in a way that matters. Father, so often we get to be the recipients of words you are speaking to us. Words like loved, cherished, forgiven, beloved, valuable. God, there are people out there that need to hear those words. And they may not have a relationship with you, so it may be that we get to be your mouthpiece. So I pray, Lord, for the people in this church that this week they would have opportunity to speak words that bring life, to speak words that bring encouragement, to speak words that build up. Help us not just have those opportunities, but help us take those opportunities. And Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do with those words. Jesus, we realize that words matter. Who we say them to, how we say them, when we say them, what we say, why we say them. I pray that we'd be diligent this week to remember both the potential for harm and the reality of good that could come from what we say. We look forward to seeing the opportunities you give us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, take this. Don't stick it in the offering plate as it comes by. But take this, tape it on your mirror, your rear view mirror, your computer. You've got a list of words right now in your hands that could build somebody up. Do that this week between Sundays, because it's all part of following Jesus the other 6.5 days a week.
Our words matter so much more than we think. There's a phrase that I find coming out of my mouth probably way more often than it should, especially when I'm talking to my kids, and that's, use your brain. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny, but it's also me telling my kids that they're not thinking and they're not smart enough in this situation, and it's not okay. So this week, I want some of these other words to come out instead. Words like worthy, smart, kind, I'm proud of you. Words that lift up. So as our ushers come forward, please keep this with you. Keep it and put it in your heart. And let it come out.